Welcome along to Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. No rest for the wicked. We've been out and about on the roads of Lancashire this afternoon watching all the Rugby League action as it unfolds in front of our very eyes. It's been a busy weekend on Radio Yorkshire Live Super League on Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday. We are live at RadioYorkshire.co.uk. I think we're having a couple of issues on Facebook tonight, so you might need to get the DAB out or listen online. We've sent all the links out on Twitter. Please share them with your friends. We'll get the Facebook thing sorted as soon as possible. Mustn't do bank holidays. What a day it's been. Well, I've been to watch Warrington get battered by Salford. We then got told the coach had resigned, then told he hasn't resigned. Scully's been to watch Wakefield, the mighty Wakefield.
I've been to see Wakefield batter Wigan. I've been to see Wakefield batter Wigan. For the first 20 minutes, me and Craig Murdoch, Mark Wilson, Phil Kaplan, me and Craig Murdoch, we were taking our socks off, counting our toes how many Wigan was going to win. But then, for the last 60 minutes, Wakefield, absolutely sensational. Battered Wigan, and I tell you what, at this moment in time, wait for this, Wakefield fans, at this moment in time, you're making the top four. You are making the top four. There you go, Wakefield fans.
So I've been to watch Warrington get battered. You've seen Wigan get battered. And Phil, where have you been?
I've seen a fantastic game at Widnes.
Right.
Absolutely full credit to the Vikings. Brave. Never gave it in. The fact that, again, all of these teams are playing their second game in 4 days, I think they've served up entertainment that we don't deserve. Fabulous defensive performance and won it late on. Deserved to win it. No complaints at all. Loved it. Enjoyed it.
And let's not forget the Casford Tigers. They battered Lee as well. So what a great weekend so far at the moment for most of for our clubs.
It has indeed. Where do we start?
Well, the fact that Scully survived Blackpool is probably...
Yeah, he looks a little bit lost when I saw him on Sunday morning.
He looks a bit tanned.
Yeah.
Has he been out in the sun?
Don't know. Have you been out in the sun, mate? Have you been out in the sun?
Not really. And that standard Blackpool is where you don't get no sun there.
We were sat in the fridge.
When I say at Blackpool, it's beaming. It's beaming down about, 80 degrees on the pitch and everything. But in the side of the stand where we are... It's freezing, but no, I enjoyed Blackpool. But I just want to say as well, David Fifita, I tell you what, absolutely unstoppable. Unstoppable. And at this moment in time, I would say, with Junior Moores, he's the best forward going around at this moment in time in Super League. He was absolutely unstoppable. Not just with ball in hand, with a quick player of balls defensively, Wigan couldn't handle him. And this is what I say, the forwards are laying the platform from there. All the forwards are quality at this moment in time, but he's head and shoulders above anybody else at this moment in time is Mr. Fifita. But again, the organisation with Liam Finn and Jacob Miller and the opportunities the wingers are getting taken, they've got speed to burn on the wing. Scott Griggs is just playing like a, you know, second stand-off with the creativity. I'll tell you, honestly, Wakefield Trinity, they are a pleasure to watch, and they are the real deal. And do you know what? When you talk about coaching, Mark, and you talk about this, Phil, I said to Craig Murdoch, I said, you know what? I bet you Chris Chester said to his players, you give me a response today, you give me a result, and this is about coach, this man management, I'll give you a few days off. What did Chris Chester say in the press after? You do me a job today, and I'll do you a job. I don't want to see you all Thursday. Isn't that great man management?
Yeah.
Isn't that great man management? Well done, Chris Chester.
Take
a bow.
A huge amount to focus on. I mean, two rounds of Super League and the value of the Bash weekend. But shouldn't we salute Greg Eden?
Should we ever?
Four consecutive hat-tricks.
Has it ever done? Because you know the stats of whatever Phil and history. Has that been done before?
I'm not sure it's been done in the... I'm certain it hasn't done in the Super League era. Martin Afaya may have done something.
He may have been close to
Brian
that.
Bevan may have done. He went a lot of games where he scored in Cossette. But I don't
Billy
remember.
Billy Boston?
Eric Harris, Foxy, not it? For tries, more for goals. But
has it been done before?
The fact that we can't even definitively say one way or the other that anybody else has done it I think we just have to take our hats off to Greg Eaton at the moment and say, wow, what a finisher.
But again, listening to the commentary on the way home back from Wigan, it's again Castleford. They turned that tap on for 8 minutes, didn't they, in that first half, by all accounts.
Yep.
They turned the tap on, three quick tries, bang, 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 Greg Eaton, and, well, see you later, isn't it? Eh?
Sensational.
Where do we want to start, then? We're watching Catalans taking on the ball. Yeah, they're in front, 4-0. Where we've got to try and put it in some order. Where do you want to work today and go backwards? How do you want to do it?
I suspect that you've got to view the two Super League games as one. I think you can look at how teams have performed over this weekend period. I think the Blackpool Bash is a debate in itself where does it go from here.
I think to be honest with you, we should discuss the Bash and give it the credit what it deserves, Martin.
Yeah, well, we'll do it later. Super League's happened today. We need to talk about what's happened today. This is a programme about what's happening now, Scott.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, you know, the Bash, it deserved the credibility, so why can't we discuss that the first hour and the Super League the second hour?
I think what's interesting about the Bash is that the RFL put a statement out at the end of it saying how successful it was, but they didn't do that after Magic Weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know if that tells us anything.
But if you'd have had Hulker in the Magic Weekend, we'd have had record crowds at the Magic Weekend, and the Bash would have been a wash.
I think the thing about the Bash, which we can come to later, is that it does depend which teams are playing. And then you've got to be very clever about how you allocate your fixtures to get that spread. It's great that there's a record attendance, no problem with that at all. But two-thirds of it in one day and a third of it in another, not a great look.
Say the two teams that impressed me at the Bash, and I was very much looking forward to it. As I said to Matt Wilson yesterday, seen Toulouse play. They didn't let me down. And
London.
I was just going to say that, Phil. London got an absolute battling. They got embarrassed at Featherstone 6 weeks ago, and I was speaking to John Sharp before the game, Phil, and I said, they'll be looking for revenge, John, because you embarrassed him. He said, Scott, we know that. What we've got to do, we've got to make sure that we meet fire with fire, we meet that desire and enthusiasm straight away. They didn't do that. London literally blew them away off the park. Forward pack, yes, laid the foundation, but the half-backs and the full-back in, I think it's Alex Walker, sensational.
The good thing about London at the moment is there's some players out there that are coming through their system again. Lewis Biernik, the young prop, 19-year-old prop, looked fantastic when he came off the bench.
I tell you, and I say, with the half-back partners, it's what I saw at the weekend. At times, it was a pleasure to see, just working off, sharing that balance out, individuals taking responsibilities, what they do for, as I keep harping on, plotting their way around the field for 5 or 10 minutes and then somebody else taking charge. They were a pleasure to watch. Yeah, I enjoyed the Bash.
And the shame for Bradford is they were massively credible in their game and then watched Dewsbury win, which actually meant that it counted for nothing. But there's the Bash for you. We can go back to that, no doubt.
John has said, let's talk about the Bash. Yes, you missed the best day, Mark, playing under-8s cricket. Now, I wonder who told her that, Scully.
A bit harsh, Mark. Hold on, Richard Shawright was there as well. Richard Shawright was there, but I must say, me and Joanne, we had a few quiet words, and we've kissed and made up. We have kissed and made up. And literally, you know, we had a bit of a kiss. You know, we kissed and made up. And
don't think we need to know the details.
we kissed and made up, and also as well, you know, a Bilal lad, very much speaking to a very intelligent lady. Do you know Joanne? She's a top pharmacist for the NHS in the Wakefield area. And, you know, a Bilal lad talking to...
Are you batting above your average?
Absolutely.
Was a great moment. I'm going to clip the bit out. It was on about this yesterday.
Talking.
It was great speaking to someone so intelligent. I said, I'd love to be able to do that working with you. That's going on the next promo,
but the lad, you know, mixing with the elite in the intelligence department. So yeah, she's quite a smart bird, is our Joanne.
I heard the cake was good as well.
No, there were no cake. Oh yeah, it's the cake. But the other cake was the cheesecake and the chocolate cake.
How big the RFL budget must have been spent on that chocolate cake?
it had to be a Blackpool because they didn't put it on at Newcastle, did they? To be honest, do you know what I mean? But Joanne. Yeah, we kissed and made up. We're on happy terms. But one thing for sure, she wasn't happy with the Featherstone performance. I tell you what, she's very passionate. Well, they all are, the Featherstone fan, but she's very passionate there. And
London can't lose at Blackpool. And
anyway, how do you do against under-8s this week? You got a black eye. What's that about?
I've got a little graze on the side of my eye, I think is what you.
Well, under-8. Well,
we play with a hard ball, don't we?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, we are now on Facebook, so welcome along if you are watching on Facebook. You know the drill by now. Get stuck in. What do you want to talk about? Where do we start? Scully is just after putting the mockers on Cass, or trying to put the mockers on Cass last week when he said they'd win the treble. He's now said that Wakefield are going to finish top eight.
Top four.
And Mr. Fafita is one of the four fours in civil.
So to if Wakefield are in the top four.
Yesterday, Mr. Fafita. Did he? I don't know if you've heard it. He criticised you for saying that you can't call him soft on the back of one performance. But he also said he believes you're a very, very good player. He even called you a legend. And he was very polite, really. So there you go, a bit of mutual respect. Now it's like Bellew and whoever, yeah, when they didn't like each other, and now they like each other.
Hold on here. I never said I didn't like David Fafita. No, not a chance. Hold on. No, I never get personal. What I said was it was a soft performance, not soft as people.
Yes,
and also as well, Mark Wilson. Chris Chester, the coach, said it was a dishonest performance.
Can we let it go?
And also as well, right, against Lee, they got battered for 40 minutes. But since then, everything has been sensational for Wakefield and David Fafita.
A lot of people are just listening on Facebook now, and they want to only hear you say something nice about Wakefield.
Far more important, if Wakefield are going to finish in the top four, who isn't? Who of your original selections are not now going to finish in the top
four? Yeah. Well, Warrington aren't.
No.
Catalans aren't. Hull aren't.
Hull losing 6-0 after 12 minutes.
Hull will not. St Helens, that's a bit umming and ahhing. Leeds umming and ahhing. I'll tell you what, one for sure. Castleford are, and Salford are. And I don't want to put the mockers on Salford and Knifeford.
Castleford, Salford, Wakefield. So are we going to finish in the top four?
Well,
because you know he's not speaking to you. That'll be the end of it.
Isn't this what we wanted as well in Super League? But also as well, Craig Murdoch and myself, who was in the press room waiting, you know, for Sean's interview. Chris Chester came in first and waited for Sean. Sean never came. He must have been having an inquest in that dressing room, because, as we say, we know exactly what Sean wants from his players. And I tell you, for 20 minutes sensation, but Wakefield just literally blew him off the park. And I would imagine them Wigan players now might be in that pit already.
Yeah.
Do you think, again, we can come back to it, that we've seen teams back up over a weekend, that the game that hasn't been played now has even more significance on the basis of the results that we've got, and that this is now a ridiculous decision? It was anyway.
Well, Daryl Powell had his say in midweek, but I get the impression there's more to come from Daryl. I would say if Castleford were to beat St Helens next week,
big if,
will tee off big time on the RFL. That is my understanding. Tony Smith, we were told on Facebook by the club's official Facebook page that he'd left his position
right
after the game. He came in and went, "Don't worry, lads, I haven't been sacked." And then he went on to mumble his way through, really. But he also not happy, furious that St Helens and Huddersfield have had the week off.
Why, he said,
all signed up for this, so therefore we all have to play.
Why have they been allowed? I know they're talking about this Huddersfield situation, right? Why have they been allowed to cancel this game?
They should have played tomorrow night, in my opinion.
Or at 7 o'clock this evening, you could have still enjoyed Huddersfield's success.
Yeah,
you know, we are a different sport.
Why are we dancing to the tune? Rugby league fans who watch the football and vice versa.
They could have gone to the John Smith Stadium and revelled in the football club's success whilst enjoying watching their own team.
Rugby league, you'd have opened up the bars and still come down and have a few pots.
But now, again,
got a few more in.
Looking at the league table, if Huddersfield beat Warrington, Huddersfield have had a week off to prepare, they will go above them.
Yeah, they will.
And where's that game at? Huddersfield or Warrington?
So Huddersfield. Scandalous.
Right, let's get stuck in to what people are getting saying. You can get in touch on Twitter at RLonRY. You can get in touch on the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. Apologies we're late on, but you're getting stuck in now. Adrian, I want to talk about what Gary said about Fafita. By no means, I want him to take the credit for the turnaround. he says, I've got a picture of you, Gary, with my son's Wakefield hat on, he said, laughing. Butch said, have a good bank holiday, Scoey. Barry said, big shout out for Stalford from Stefan and Baz. I watched Salford today.
Excuse me, a little fight breaking out in the south of
there
France.
There are, yeah, okay. We'll cross over to our France correspondent, Phil Kaplan, in a minute for that. Barry, big shout out for Salford. Salford didn't get out of third gear today and won cruising. Junior Sal, brilliant today. Mm. Todd Carney, brilliant. And Salford, brilliant.
And you'd say, with the most important player, has he been rested, Michael Dobson, today? So, but
rested him, yeah.
But again, but that doesn't that just tell you, you know, what a great job the coach Ian Watson is doing? Exactly the same as Chris Chester at Wakefield, exactly the same at Darrell Power from there. He's got players who are coming into them training sessions, a smile on their face, want to play for the coach, want to play for the club. It's great to see, and they're playing in the right way. It's an absolute pleasure to watch, Mark. You know, there's nobody more happier seeing, you know, these clubs and these players who are playing expansive rugby league, scoring plenty of points, and playing quality. It is. It's a pleasure to watch. It is.
It is indeed. Salford, well, let's start with them. Ian Watson said after he's learnt lessons from Easter when they went to Catalan and they run out of juice, he said. They made five changes today, two kids in, both did well off the bench.
I think you've got to take the Salford story back to a drop goal at the end of last season and say when that went over, which was the most astonishing turnaround within 10 minutes, nobody foresaw that you could build on the back of that to the extent that they have. And to go from virtually being outside of Super League to on the verge of in the top four of Super League for the split in 23 rounds, that is absolutely astonishing. That we touched on it last week about the stuff that's going on off the field, about the change of name and talk of even moving into Manchester City's arena out of the AJ Bell Stadium and all that sort of rebranding. I would just love to see Salford have some success under the name of Salford. Their fans deserve it. They're long-standing fans. They are coming back in numbers. If they play the way they have today at Warrington,
support was great today. I don't know, 1,500-1,800 of them there. Brilliant support.
Why wouldn't you just follow? They're at home to Wakefield next Sunday.
It's a huge game.
Not only do they play each other in the cup, but they're playing in the league, and they're both now genuine top four aspirants. Why would you not go and watch that game?
Well,
it's not who about would have had changing your
Cass,
name.
Salford, Leeds, Wakefield as your top four.
Also, as well, Mark, I said before the game today, with Wakefield and Wigan, and I guess maybe you've been a witness with that game at Salford. This game for Wakefield, for mine, I said it to Craig Murdoch, and we were both in agreement. It was a marker game to see where, you know, Wakefield were. And I guess Salford, you know, going to Warrington, I guess, yeah, the way they play, maybe the right time to play Warrington, because, yeah, they are a shambles, but still, on paper, they look a quality side. So we were saying, yeah, this is a marker game to see where Wakefield are. And this is why I'm saying about Wakefield, they've got that consistency now, they've got the quality, they've got the balance, they're playing sensational rugby league, and they passed that test today, and boy oh boy, I'll tell you, they are a threat for the top four, Wakefield, and Salford, what they've done at Warrington today, they are serious contenders for the top four as well.
They are indeed. There's been a yellow card. Sam Moore, is it?
He's not stopped yapping at his former Hull teammates and the referee from the minute the incident started. He's definitely...
Well, that's not Luke Walsh who's been sin-binned.
No, it's definitely Sam Moore.
Yeah.
Unless Walsh has already gone as well. But, yes, it's safe to say there's some high feeling going on in the south of France.
Yeah, Callum leads 6-0 against Hull, 16 minutes.
James Charles is speaking his best French to Remy Casty.
He is. So we've spoken about Wakefield and how well they're obviously getting on at the moment. Andrew just says, wow, Wakefield. Niall said, Castleford unstoppable today. Phil is a Bradford fan. I won't look who are the Bulls. We'll come to that later. Barry says it's a two-horse race now. Oh, Barry, you've gone early. You've gone early with that, mate. You've gone early.
Well, he's going Cass and Wakefield, is he?
No, Cass and Salford. He's a big Salford
fan. Oh, sorry, right, sorry.
Richard said up the train, Old Trafford, here we come. David says another no-show from Fev. No-show for me next year, he says. Paul enjoyed the commentary this afternoon. Niall said top two teams, both British coaches. Well, I think barring... St Helens have now got an Huddersfield. They're all British, aren't they? Top on Catalan.
top six teams, all British coaches, as we stand at the moment.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I tell you what, as well, fellas. What do we? Okay, we're into what? We're into round 15, are we now? Round 15, are we?
Yeah, we've done 15.
Yeah, so we've done 15. What do you reckon? Do you think it's a possibility we could have a new name on the grand final trophy? We're talking about three sides here. Cass, Salford and Wakefield. Could we realistically have a new name on the trophy this year at Old Trafford?
I don't see why we shouldn't. I think we've got...
It's a great call.
We may even have the... It may even be the same in the Challenge Cup.
Well, should Hull win, And I think Albert Kelly has just scored a try.
No, he's just lost the ball in the act of scoring, I think.
No, I'm going try, Phil. I'm going
Phil,
try.
Phil won't give Albert Kelly.
Phil. Phil won't
give Albert Kelly any credit.
Well, should Hull win tonight, yes. The top four will be non-Super League winners.
Which would be fabulous.
And we are over halfway
through. But the other thing to bear in mind, though, is that when we get to the semi-finals, it's 80 minutes. So I think... Yes, look...
Well, if you've got four new teams in, one of them's
no,
got
no,
to win.
But we've seen jockeying for position up until the split, but when we get that top four, you then look at teams that know how to win those matches. Are they in contention? And we haven't even spoken about St Helens yet, whose revival has been ridiculously remarkable under Justin Holbrook. He gets an extra week now to work with the players that he isn't familiar with. To start his reign, 45-0 win at Magic, and then a late come from behind win in the Derby, and we know that everything goes out the window when it comes to the Derby. He could not have made a better start. Would you rule St Helens out at the moment?
No,
of having
no chance.
A say on the top four, and then in a semi-final when the chips are down.
The interesting thing is, if we were to be going into the Super 8s now, is the team 5, 6, 7 and 8 are the teams that have been fighting out for the top 4 predominantly for the last few years. They're going to put the pressure on the boys at the top. It's going to be great end of the season in prospect.
I think even Widnes, who are still 1 point at the bottom, who performed heroically today, I think two of their next three games, both at home, are Lee and Catalan. They're not out of the shake-up yet. We may have prematurely written off Lee, who got their first ever away win in Super League at Hull on Friday, and Widnes, who had, I think, seven players back today, and Dennis Betts was saying afterwards there's more to come. We hope we've weathered the worst, but we're actually going to get stronger.
Yeah. Well, they better do. They've got a Coventry, aren't they? We'll talk about that later.
Well, I'll tell you what, the way they played today, if you were from Coventry, you'd want to buy them and
so
go
Phil,
and see.
So, Phil, are you saying after Widnes' performance today, they could make the eight? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they're only 5 points off. And the way Warrington are playing at the moment, the way Catalan have been playing, why would you rule them out at this stage? Lee looked impressive at Hull, couldn't back it up today against a rampant Castleford. But all these teams are going to play each other in the next two or three rounds. It could get very interesting.
Could do indeed. Let's get through some of these messages. Niall says, was that Scotty's new contract, which was brought into the studio? Well, no, it wasn't, but just in case it was, Niall. he's a free agent.
Oh, hold on, I haven't signed it yet.
Anyone want this? It must be the only thing in this building you haven't signed. You signed everything else. Ben said, who's going to stop the Trin train? Mm. Richard said, it's all great for Yorkshire Rugby League. Can someone trim up Old Trafford? Black and Amber says, Dave, confidence building. John said up, Bradford stay up. Nick says Halifax are desperate for a halfback to take us round the park. Gary could the Golden Boot legend do us a job and put facts back on track. Seriously, we need a halfback. We've been chasing a few. Chris Atkin keeps getting mentioned from Swinton. We watched Halifax yesterday. Big disappointment for you, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, and
although credit to Lewes. I thought they play a lovely game.
They really do.
Yeah, they were outstanding. But Scott Morrell's a better player than what he showed yesterday. Phil, to be honest with you. It's the same. I don't think we really should mention the Batley Dewsbury game because it was awful. Anyway,
we drove past Blackpool on the way back, and Batley still haven't scored.
I'd say Bram Barn is a far better player. What
I think Warrington would be the same. Awful today. Lots of people getting in stuck in. Rich said the Wakey win today effectively stopped Wigan making the top four. They're only 4 points off it, man.
I tell you what, as well, hey Mark, just as well with the Wakey fans, it's great to all hear them, and they're all absolutely buzzing and rightly sober. Come on, then, Wakefield fans. Michael Carr, he wants a 6,000 marker. He wants a 6,000 barrier breaking. Come on, then, Wakey fans. Yeah. Michael can't do any more. Chris Chester can't do more. The players can't do any more. They're playing the style of rugby league that everybody wants to watch. So come on, Wakey fans. Get your seat down to Bellevue. I can reassure you, I'm not a commissioner from Michael Carr, but what I'm saying is, what more can Wakefield do to get the fans through them turnstiles to come and watch quality rugby
and
league?
It's the same is true with Salford.
Absolutely.
For all we've mentioned the manner in which perhaps they've gone about some of their business, Salford play Wakefield next week. If you're a neutral rugby league fan, that is the game to go to. How often did we think we'd hear ourselves saying that?
If you're not going, Games live on Radio Yorkshire next week.
Excellent.
Scoy will be there again.
I'm not.
With his, oh, you're not here,
I'm
are
not,
you?
I'm away in Cumbria.
Well,
oh,
even if you go in live, take your radio with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And listen to the conversation.
Josh says, what's Scoy been saying about the Wakey forward pack and their win today? Full of praise, Josh, full of praise.
Sensational, sensational.
Yeah. Niall says, witness were good at Cass Friday. Phil, in response to what you were saying. Very unlucky,
they were.
Until right at the end.
And I think that... Dennis was saying that because of the injuries that they've had, he couldn't play his full squad in both games. He needs to sort of manage the way people come back. And they looked at the home game today as the one that they desperately wanted to win because they need to keep the fans on side. But I think because they came so close at Cass, that gave them the confidence again today with the other players in. Mr. Wayne did have some comments, so even if he didn't turn up to the formal press
conference. What did he say about it?
We just fell apart and missed too many one-on-ones. It was a great start, but we gave a few penalties away, and I just didn't make we just didn't make those one-on-one tackles. We made some poor defensive errors and put ourselves under pressure. They were the best team. We were a bit out of juice. They're a big team. We came into it a bit lethargic, and you try and manage their big bodies. Wigan team should never give up a 20-0 lead no matter what. There's no excuse from us. We were beaten by the better team and I'm disappointed. Please order the buses. No, he didn't say that.
Well, I'll tell you what, fair play to Sean there, give credit where it's due, you know, and did I say that Wakefield were the better side? And well, I'll tell you, yeah, for 20 minutes Wigan were unstoppable, but then I say Wakefield, they well, sensational, simple as that. I can't say any more.
Yeah. 8-6 to Catalan after 23 minutes. Just kicked the penalty.
Okay, fair enough. Matthew says, going back from 20-0 down is one thing, but to score 42 at Wigan is a different gravy. Liam Finn is like a fine wine. Loads of tweets coming in. Keep them coming in. At RL on RY. If you are listening on Facebook, please do share it with your friends. Get them involved as well. Let them have a say. We normally at 6 until 8, but we've all been trekking around, following the rugby league. I know the Huddersfield game was called off today, but there were four games within 20 miles in Lancashire today. And if you want to watch Super League or rugby league in Yorkshire today, you can watch any. What's that all about?
Great fixture planning.
Well done on a bank holiday. Excellent. Well done.
Just what we need. Not like having a split two here, two there. I understand the Huddersfield game was off. I know that, but 4-1 it would have been the split, which is not ideal, is it? We shall see. Scully, someone sent us a picture. What they have done is they have superimposed your body. I don't know if you can see that. Look, Legend, you were there. You were celebrating the Wakey trousers. You were there. In fact, it looks like you've even scored one of them.
I tell you what, you know the Wakefield, you know what's great about rugby, the Wakefield, for the banter what we're having nowadays, it's sensational.
They can't wait.
It's banter, yeah. The banter what we're having, but you know what, my son, he just says, Dad, please, don't forget, Dad, that I work at Wakefield. So I said, hey, don't worry about that, son, they won't be having a go at you, it's the Legend who'll be having a go at, but what great banter. That's what it's, hey, do you know what as well? I was walking, you know, he come down from the stand at Wigan to go to the presser. As I'm walking through these two old ladies, they've got to be about 82. And the first thing that comes to me was, are you going to write bad things about us? Are you writing things about us? I went, hold on, I don't do that. Said, what about that referee? They were never on side. So I said, that's what you Wiganers say all the time. Get him on side, get him on. And she had me by my collar. Well, they were never on side. I went, listen, that's all you've ever said from Central Park. You Wiganers, all you do is complain about being on side. So I said, hey, listen, you can't be complaining about that performance from Wakefield. Yes, I can. They were never on side. So I thought, I'm not going to win this argument. And I just said to him, have a nice bank holiday, ladies. We'll see you soon. And don't you be writing silly things about us in your column. Great banter from the ladies.
Do you think we've seen the emergence over this weekend of some names that perhaps we weren't familiar with who were starting to quite rightly get plaudits? I've seen Ryan Ince win the man of the match for Widnes today with two tries. Absolutely superb.
Well, we commented on him last week, didn't we?
Absolutely brilliant.
I'll tell you who we used for Wakefield that came off the bench as well. Anthony England. He was massive. But as I mentioned in Liam Finn, I know we Finny, you know, the snail himself. And again, he was just sensational. Getting him around the park, his decision making, the quickness between the ears, brilliant. But Jake, again, it's got a combination. The situation now for Chezzy, the combination now, because it looked like maybe that Jacob, he twisted his ankle about the last 2 minutes. Just nothing, innit?
Mm.
The Wigan player tipped over the top. He took the ball in. Just fell awkward. So it'd be if Miller is out maybe for a week or so, with that combination with Williams and Liam Finn, if it's going to have the same effect. Because it's took Chesney a few weeks to find out his best combination there, hasn't it? You know, so that will be an interesting one. But I tell you what, he played well, did Williams, when he come on. But also as well,
Williams was good on Friday night, I think, as well.
And another important player for Wigan is Kyle Woodhooker.
Yeah,
his variation from dummy half is good. But I can't praise Wakefield enough. From 1 to 17, and I say, they are very, very impressive. I'll tell you, they are top four material.
But haven't they also showed over these two games that they can win in two very different ways? That perhaps they weren't at their best against Huddersfield on Friday night, but they found a way to win.
Both the same at Cass. Cass have done the same two or three
and
times.
And you need to do that. You've got to be a complete team.
Salford can do that because on a few occasions, me and Craig said about Wigan, hey, listen, Wigan's going to play here for the 80 minutes. They will keep playing this like they did from the first second to the last second. They will keep going. So will Saints because they've been in that environment. So will Leeds because they've been in that pressure cooker situation. It's new to these clubs. First of all, being in this position, what they're in, but when they've been asked that question, I'll tell you what, they've come up with all the answers.
Well, not playing well against Huddersfield, who are a gritty side, but finding a way to
win.
Again, Ben Jones-Bishop, who didn't play today, but scored another unbelievable try just to...
Well, I'll tell you what, I think what, a big thing what Chesney said as well, and speaking to Michael Carter just after the game as well with Wakefield, if that had been Wakefield last year or the year before, 20-0 down at Wigan after 18 minutes, it'd have been good night, God bless.
More than the year before. Yep. They haven't done this in the modern era so far.
It would have been good night, God bless. It would have been bingo numbers. But again, the character of this side, sensational.
Is the forgotten man Scott Gricks in all of this? Because you mentioned him briefly, I just think he's been sensational this year.
He is. Yeah.
Good recruitment. Last week, Scotty, I've got an apology to make to one of our listeners, Gilly Holt, who's 91. We saw her son at one of our events. We were out and about. And he told us that his mum is 91, listens every Monday religiously, loves Scoey. She asked if he could say hello. Gilly Holt, 91, listens every week in Hovingham.
Gilly, good evening, my love. I'll tell you what, if you want to give us your address, I'll send you the signed photograph as well from the legend.
What, to keep her away from the fire?
No, she can put it at the
side. I think at 91, she'll know not to touch the
91.
Fire.
No, she'll be okay. She can put it at the side of her bed and just give a wink and say goodnight. Goodnight, the legend. And there you go. So if you want to send your address in, Gilly, there's a sign for Immigrate Britain kit and all with the old chat. It's a proper one where that's the in a Great Britain shirt. Yeah, so Gilly, if you want to send us it, you'll get a great signed photograph of the legend.
There is one unanswered question so far, though. There's no Mr. Shaw Wright here, and yet he spent the weekend in Blackpool. Well, is he in trauma?
Well, I'm a bit worried.
Post-traumatic stress?
We went out last week with him in Newcastle, and he had three blue wickeds, didn't he?
Three?
A bottle of cider.
He had two blue wickeds and a bottle of Smirnoff, and that's it. But
yeah. So he's, I think he's, I don't know.
I'm just a bit worried he's not here.
No, he'll be all right. He'll be drunk somewhere in Wigan.
If he's been listening to the commentary the year this afternoon, he'll be having kittens because he would be delighted, honestly. And so is all the Wakefield fans as well.
Yeah, exactly. Keep your interaction coming in at RL on RY. Callum says, get your wakey shirt on for next week's show, Scully. Well, you are here Monday, aren't you? Yeah, you better have your wakey shirt.
I'm here Monday.
Yeah, are you going to get Fifita on the back now? You're his best mate again? What about Liam the Snail Finn?
Keep going.
Now.
Hold on, you keep saying to me, be a bit harsh on Finn. No, I'll tell you what, he's sensational, he is, honestly.
He is. Richard said, the other Richard will be dancing around Wigan. He better be living it up. Luke said experience will show at the business end of the playoffs. Well,
good
the way
point.
It's going.
Good point.
There might not be a lot of experience
you're
to put in there.
Right,
I think
injuries
will have a say come that end, but also let's just revel in the fact that nobody could have predicted how the table's looking at the
halfway,
moment.
Halfway through the
just
team.
Over the halfway stage.
Halfway through. And do you know what as well? A good credit to the teams that are up there. It's the style of play, what they're doing. The style of play. It's me, who keeps envisaging, I want to see vision and awareness and openness, and I want players to be given that freedom. Play what you see. And as I say, the way them three teams are going, and do you know what? The league table doesn't tell lies, does it? The reason why they're there is because they're scoring more points than the opposition, and they're doing it the right way. Oh, it's brilliant.
575, Salford.
Is that what Castleford are now?
444, Leeds 417, Wakefield 402. The top four teams, as we sit at the moment, have all scored more than 400 points.
Great.
The first has got the most, second's got the second. Yeah. No, but that's what I mean. So yeah, it's the top four are there.
Top four to all have over 400.
Yeah.
There is some expansive rugby
Again, it's telling you there, that's why they're in the top four, because they're playing the game the right way. They are looking, you know, to win games and win it by scoring plenty of points.
Yeah, they are indeed. Right, let's have a look. Luke says, what did you make of Mason Caton Brown's finish today and his season so far?
Well, what more can you say? You give the kid an opportunity, and he's got the pace and the finish. It's brilliant, absolutely. But also again, right? The great thing for Chris Chester, exactly the same with Ian Watson, exactly the same as Darryl Powell. When they got people to come in to take the players, say today Jones Bishop, and then the winger who scored a hat trick, Tupu. What the situation is, the players are knocking on the door, and I want an opportunity. When these players are getting the opportunity, they're not letting the coach down. So what that's doing is then making a headache for the coach, but it's the headache what they want. It's the headache what they're looking for. And so when they're stepping in there, they're putting the pressure on the coach to select them and say, listen, I can play this game week in and week out, and I won't let you down. And it's great that the coaches in Chester, in Powell, and also to Ian Watson, they're giving these players the opportunity, and they're not letting the coaches down. It's brilliant.
But
it's brilliant.
The great thing is that Mason Caton Brown is another one out of the Southern production line.
Right, yep.
And we need to keep looking at this reservoir. There's talent there. And yes, it needs developing, but Mason Caton Brown has only played rugby league. He's probably the equivalent to maybe even an under 16 in the amount of experience he's had in playing top level rugby league. To be performing the way he is under a coach that obviously is giving him the tools to do the job, that says to me that we have to, as a sport, look more at areas that are producing guys like him.
Okay, very good. Let's get through some more of these tweets and emails. Ian says, when can Ben Barber play? Has that been confirmed yet about his 12-game ban?
I tell you what, you know what? I just the RFL on this, right, they quite simply say to St Helens, because there's supposed to be a meeting between the hierarchy of the Saints and the RFL on Tuesday, isn't there? The RFL just say, hey, listen, he's done for 12. He's got a ban for 12 games, and that's sticking. And he's not allowed to play until whatever September time. It's absolutely ridiculous that the RFL having a meeting with St Helens. It's as simple. He's banned for taking cocaine, and that should stick.
And they've signed
ridiculous.
Him for 2.5 years, and if he can't play until round four of the eights this year, they'll still get good value out of him.
Of course they will. But
talking of things that haven't yet been resolved, was chatting with someone at Widnes today. Who are still waiting to hear what's happening about their postponed game with Wigan in week one.
All right, okay. Well, brush it under the carpet. Mm. They might be in Coventry by the time they sort that out. Mm. Adrian says, hats off to you, Gary, credit where it's deserved for Trinity. And Scott Gritz, the forgotten man, is in Norway, player of the season so far for us. Gary says, do you think Greg Eden will beat Denny Solomona's try record? What's he got, 25 in 16 games?
Hope so.
Why not?
I think more importantly, are we seriously now looking at Greg Eden as an England player? I know you say he's got mistakes in him, but can we afford to turn down a finisher that's got four consecutive hat-tricks?
Well, you can't, can you? But even Darryl Powell says that. Well, we all say that. You know, he's always got one of them mistakes, which certainly from, again, we'll find out when the pressure comes, when the pressure cooker's on, because we've all seen him do that, Greg, but one thing for sure, you know, he's getting the opportunities and he's taking them opportunities.
I think there's a slight difference between him and Denny Solomona. I think Solomona was on the end of a lot of very good work. I think Eden is producing some of the stuff himself.
Mm. I don't know if you saw that, the catch from the kick the other night.
Absolutely.
Diving full length, tipped up in the air and then put it in. Yeah. Unbelievable.
But the problem is with Greg, he's always, when he was at Huddersfield, we know what Nathan Brown said about with the Billy situation. And then he went to Ulkins to Rovers and obviously Brisbane from there. And everybody will tell you, he's always looking to come up with that champion player. And that, if he does that in a semi-final or whenever, a very, very important game, unfortunately, he's going to find him out. you know. So, but Dowell's working on him and working on him, and he knows that himself, you know. And I say that's not coaching; it's man management. Say there's a time and a place. If we're 40 points up, you can do what you want.
Yeah.
But when it's a pressure cooker situation, quite simply, just do the basic stuff. Simple as.
Liam said Wakefield have been world beaters ever since Richard had a shave. There you go, the RSW there. He's affecting things even in his own bathroom. That's how important this man is in the world of rugby league. Simon says, Scoy would have scored most of Eden's tries this year. He's not the player people are making out to be. Moments of brilliance, but poor defence. Interesting. We'll see. Josh said, Gareth Rayner always had a mistake in him, but did a fine job back in the day. Eden is a world-class back alongside the likes of Hall and Watkins. And then Luke says, anyone who plays on that wing is going to score tries because of the centres that Cass have got.
Well, that's a fair point. I don't think Eden is doing some stuff off his own bat as well.
The point is, he wouldn't look out of place in England shirt anyway, would he?
He wouldn't look out of place. The wing place... I know that Mr. Bennett says, oh, we're short of back rowers. It's not a short of wingers. You could pick any one of a lot.
Wingers, full back, centre's a little bit thin, but yeah, certainly, we're certainly wingers. No,
the thing about Eden as well is, if you needed to, he could play full back, which is an added string to his bow as well, if you're talking about a World Cup tournament.
What about, I was going to ask you, someone's just asked, do you think Max Jowett will move on from Wakefield? He's got to be patient, hasn't he?
I don't see why he should.
I think it's the
same argument we have with Jordan Lilley. I think guys have to learn their trade. They have to be better than the people that are in the team at the moment. And no doubt we'll talk about the Blackpool Bash. That was a perfect game for Jordan Lilley, under pressure virtually from minute one to minute 80. To show what he could do with steering his team around the park.
He played all right.
And I think the same as with Max Jowett. He may need to spend a bit more time playing on a week-to-week basis.
Phil is far better than Oxford. He's got to be sure.
There's another level between, isn't there? Maybe he should be in the Championship club.
He's far better than Oxford.
Yeah, he is. He will get... His time will come. Injuries happen. His time will come. Who knows what's going to happen there? Vic says, I wish all Super League games were on the telly. What happened to Leeds after a fab Friday? He said, the shameful AstroTurf. And he said, by the way, is Liam Sutcliffe developing?
Yes, absolutely. I thought he had a fabulous game on Friday. Moved to fullback early on due to Ashton Golding's injury, and thought he was very, very solid at the back. His option taking was really good. Today, he started at fullback because Golding was injured. Defensively, again, led the line. Leeds' defence on their own line was really good for like 72 minutes of the game. Yes, he is developing. I think Brian McDermott said it. He was asked on Friday night after the game, which do you think is Liam Sutcliffe's best position? And he said it's not really about that. It's about, is he good enough to be in the 17 every week? And he is. And I suspect that's the way you've got to look at it. If he's playing and making a contribution, where he's nailing down a position week on week, it's probably not that important at the moment.
All right, fair dues. Joe, our regular listener, who normally sends in a picture of a pint, he's having a few quiet ones at his dad's tonight, who's listening for the first time. He's enjoying it.
Is he near the studio? We're calling after. Is he near?
I don't know.
This weekend I've been at the Summer Bash, I've only had six pints all weekend. What's all that about? Is it pretty close?
You're an athlete, Gary, as we all know.
Natural.
Professional. people getting stuck in on Twitter at RL on RY. You can get in touch as well via the email if you want to do that. Via Facebook at Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. You're more than welcome. We are live on Facebook. We're here till 9 tonight because we're all been trekking all over the northwest of England watching our rugby league today. You know the drill. If you don't, you found us by accident, you're listening for the first time. Whatever you want to talk about rugby league wise, we're going to talk about Mark Minicello's outburst as well, saying that he's not happy. They're having to play two games in 4 days for the second time in just over a month. So we'll have a look at that in the second hour of the show. We'll talk more about the bash as well, where that's going to be held, what's happening with that. Has it got a future? And what about Bradford Bulls, who I believe there was a bit of a controversy on the TV. What? They were talking about Jeff Toovey.
What?
As the coach.
Was he on holiday at Blackpool?
He beat the seaside.
I thought he was going to mention the rubbish comments from the ex-referee on television, Mr.
Well,
Cummings.
Get him off the television,
Mr. Cummings. I don't want him on there anymore. Get him off.
I have to say, it is becoming a bit of an issue
now,
isn't it?
It's an embarrassment. It's a joke.
Do you think part of his brief is to be contrary? Because otherwise there's no point in being there. So when we had the fabulous ending to the game between Wigan and St Helens. And again, I think sometimes you need to be in the ground to have the best view.
It's a joke, Phil, isn't
it? I was watching it on telly, and without listening to the commentary, you go, yep, that's a try. That is a brilliant piece of poaching. They've both gone for the same ball.
Correct.
He's come away with it.
Correct.
Fabulous try. And
correct.
Then you turn the sound up and you're hearing, that can't be a try. And you're going, I'm not watching the same thing.
Get him off.
I am not watching the same thing.
Get him off.
Is it? Are you just saying it, whether you believe it or not, on the basis of the fact that you want to provoke debate?
It's pathetic. What are you bringing? Absolute nothing. Get him off.
Stephen has asked a question. He's a big Wakey fan, is Stephen.
Yeah.
Do Gary and Phil think Jones Bishop will remain at Trinity? The man is a great winger, playing out of his skin.
He has to do.
He's been linked heavily with Catalan.
He has to stay at Wakefield. He's found his home.
Playing, now. He made the move for money before, and
he didn't enjoy Jesse full of egos, and he didn't fit in. He's found his home now at Wakefield. He's found his home. He's happy. He's playing well. Hey, listen, Ben Jones Bishop, if we did get dramatic injuries with wingers, he wouldn't have let England down in England's shirt. Mm. No way, mate. He's found a home now at Wakefield. Wakefield want to offer him, I would say, what he deserves. Stay at Wakefield. Because you found a home.
I have a feeling, and obviously Mr. Carter will be the one to decide when he announces it. I think he may already have signed for Wakefield.
I don't think that's happened just yet.
I hope
you're right, but I don't think that's
happened. And I hope that's the case, because he could be the star that he deserves to
be. By the way, and I tweeted this out during the week, obviously Michael Carter, they've announced Joe Rundle, Jacob Miller, David Fifita, and now they've got a new scoreboard. I think Mr. Carter's won the old Euro Millions. Telling you. Where's money coming everywhere?
Well, he's also got two politicians who are on the campaign trail that are supposedly backing him for at least talking about his new stadium.
Well, if he has, all he would do today, we're just taking the mickey out of me, because Jonathan were there today. No, he's had the free course meal, he's had this, he's had that, and all I've had is a pie at Wigan. They've been
well,
lapping
if you're going to have a pie, have a pie at Wigan, to be honest.
They've been lapping it up, but fair play to them.
Yeah, good stuff. Get your interactions coming in. Lots of them coming in. I tell you what, your scoey pictures at Wakefield. The fans love them.
What?
You know the pictures you scoring the try for Wakefield today. They love them. The fans. They're getting stuck in.
Hold on, Wakefield fans. Can't remember the tries I scored against you when I played. Love scoring a couple of tries at Bellevue.
Tinner Aurone, who I understand picked up an injury today.
Hamstring, it looked like.
Has said, whoever stuffed up making all teams play two Easter weekends in one season, take a good look in the mirror, then uppercut themselves.
Well, we all know why it's done this year, because of a man who's 12,000 miles away, who could not care less about Super League. Simple as that.
But his brief isn't to care about Super League. His brief is to win the World Cup. And if he feels that he needs to do things to win the World Cup, I wouldn't criticise him for that.
I'm not talking about Wayne Bennett today.
No, I would say we knew this was going to happen. We knew there was a World Cup in Australia and New Zealand at the end of 2017. Mm. And instead of finding a way to ease the load for the players and maybe win the World Cup, we thought we'd have both.
Yeah, exactly.
Ridiculous.
Bill Carr, resident Wigan fan, good evening to you, sir. He said, today's comeback will bring huge confidence for Wakefield, but they can't keep conceding 30 and expect to make the top four. What does that say about Wigan, Bill Carr? They're conceding 40, man. Tell us, please.
It's somebody I religiously follow and whose views I think are well worth taking into account when it comes to Wigan. Every time Sean O'Loughlin appears to go off, there is a dramatic drop in intensity.
Same as Gareth Ellis, that's the influence.
Mick has reported sighting of the RSW. He said, amazing time to be a Wakey fan. He said he thinks Rick is in Blackpool, leathered on two snowballs. Well done to Michael Carter.
Baby
sham. Hashtag believe. Well, I mean, look, if that's where if there's been a sighting of him. Please send in your reported sightings of Richard Shaw. Right?
He'll be listening. Send us a message where you are, Rich. He'll be somewhere, Rich. Come on, send us a message, Rich, where you are.
Underneath the North Pier.
We're worried about you.
With a Kiss Me Quick hat on, kissing a donkey.
We're worried about you. Hey?
We will see. Keep your tweets coming in at RL on RY. I can tell you it's Catalan 8-6 up against, or is it 9-6? I've just kicked a drop goal. It's
9-6 with a
minute
to go before half time.
9-6. Well done. Keep them coming in. What do you want to talk about? You know the drill by now. We are welcome to talk about everything. I've got to do a bit of housekeeping, lads. When we go to the break, obviously you've got to make the cups of tea going. People will still, because we've had a technical issue tonight, we've had to hijack Tom's phone. They'll still be able to hear what we say in the studio. So we've got to behave, Scotty. I'm not talking to Phil, I'm talking to you now.
Yeah.
All right, you've got to behave.
We don't want any rumours, nothing of what
you
you've
understand.
Heard.
I don't listen to like Dylan Hartley. Remember Dylan Hartley famously got told
yeah,
by
it's okay.
Do you understand? Do you understand? Yes. And then he gave a penalty
because,
and then he started swearing.
Because Joanne asked a question, why am I the one who always make the teas? Why don't you make the teas? So can you tell Joanne why I have to make the teas?
Everybody's got to be good at something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we all have a contribution to make, and
all right.
Is yours.
Well, okay, that's I'll buy into that.
Yeah. All right.
Very good. Okay.
You all right with that, Gary?
I've no option, have I?
No, your place.
Is it in the contract? Do I have to sign that contract where I'm a team maker?
Hold on, I'll just check. No, it's definitely not in that one. But we can rewrite that, Gary, don't we? We can rewrite that. We're thinking of a golden handcuffs deal for you, Gary. We're going to handcuff you in the
spare
room.
No. Hey, the ladies might come on now with the golden handcuffs.
There's too many answers, Steve. There's too many answers. To that question. Rod is...
Half-time, by the way, from Stade Gilbert Brutus in Perpignan. 9-6 to the Catalan Dragons.
Very good. Against
Hull, FC.
I think Thomas tweeted out, can Wakefield make the top four? Rod, our mate Rod, has said, shut the question, can Wigan make the top four?
Well, the question is, can Wigan make the top four? Can Saints make the top four? Can Warrington make the top four? Can the Catalans make the top four? I'll tell you, the way Cass, the way Salford... The way Wakefield leads, but certainly them three sides we just mentioned, they've got it all to do. They've got it all to do. Everybody below them.
Hull Wigan next Saturday night.
Have you seen this here? Joe Lettuce, our resident, we think he's a bit of a.
Oh, resident
he's always
drinker.
Having a couple of cans. And have you seen this? Look, he's there. He's around at his old boys. Look, he's got the pool table out. He's got the rugby on the telly, he's got us on the radio, and he's got the cans on the go.
Oh, hey, can we go to that place
perfect,
and do the show live?
Perfect bank holiday, that. Isn't
can't we go to that place?
He did invite us before.
Well, why can't we go there and start the show at 12 o'clock midday and finish at 12 at night? It'd be a great show.
I reckon the pizzas are on the way as well.
It'd be a great show, won't it? Let's go there then. What a place.
I'm tempted.
Isn't it? Is he local?
He's not far away. We've had a message from Richard. He said, I've just woken up after the final game of the summer bash. The battle is usual.
I'll tell you what, wasn't it a shocker? Do you know what? Me and Matt were commentating on it. And
good was Paul Sykes?
Oh, you know, but also as well, listen.
The
best moment of the week was when the Masters players came from the Midlands and Blackpool. Oh, boy. They were some shapes. They were some sizes.
One thing we can say, Scott, rugby league is all inclusive.
They were some shapes and sizes. And do you know what? There was this bloke, he had number 19, I don't know if he's listed, but anyway, he had number 99 on his shirt. Honestly, he looked the part. He looked the part. He was stretching. He was running on the spot, and he was stretching. I thought, I'll tell you what, he's taking it serious. He can surely play. All he did was just stand out on the bloody wing all the time. He was useless. He was absolutely useless.
He didn't tempt you to have a go.
But there were two gentlemen on the Blackpool side. And literally, you know what Gable Ends are like, don't you? Literally, they were just like Gable Ends. I guess they participated, but he were the best.
I tell you what, he got
bash.
A big cheer when he took his drive up. Well, I say drive.
Well, his shirt, you know, it was that big. He had to turn it inside out to fit him because he tried putting it on the right way around and it didn't fit him. He had to turn it inside out.
He were a large chap. I thought the highlight, and this, to be fair, the Midlands scored a brilliant try right at the end. It was a great.
Well, I heard some fans shout, go on, Big Nines! Come on, Big Nines, get involved! Get involved! You don't get involved at the RFL. Come on, Big Nines, get involved! But he were comical, he were laughable. All good banter. And then all of a sudden, Mark Wilson shouts, get your tanks off this pitch! Get your tanks off this pitch!
Have you been drinking?
Yeah, your tanks off.
I don't think he's eating enough today.
It was great to watch, but we'll be for sure with that with that legends and the Masters. It's just great for everybody to take part and just, you know, a good laugh. Hey, yeah. It was a good try as well, Matt. Playing in school, oh, wasn't it? Brilliant try.
Absolutely, it was. Great joking pass. Aside, it great, was great, the great. Try that, well, great. It levelled it up at the end.
Great. Oh, no, it always great ends 0-0 in Masters.
It always won all. No, it was 1-0.
0-0 and they share the beer.
But oh, yeah, some rate shapes and some rate sizes and characters. I think Big Nine's got man of match, didn't he?
I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure that he did that, but we shall see. Keep your tweets coming in. Simon's asked a question. How about combining the Magic and the Summer Bash? Poor crowds at Blackpool. One at play all over 3 days. Super League, then Championship and so on. Get people being able to watch other things. We'll come on to that in a minute. You've raised a couple of good points. Josh asks, what do we think about Leeds winning some silverware? We'll talk about that as well coming up after the news. Steve said, finally, the cap is working. There's loads coming in. If we miss you tonight, because Rich is not here, who's normally a wizard of all things social media, do send them back in. We will try and get through all of them.
Radio Yorkshire, your home of rugby league. You know it makes sense.
We're back. Scully, I tell you what, I loved listening to you put together that Pontefract thing. I reckon you were more uncomfortable in that studio than you've ever been. A good slurp of your tea, by the way. All the listeners have just heard that. Yeah, by the, don't worry about it. All that you were so uncomfortable in that studio, more uncomfortable than I reckon when Big Mal Meninga were running at you. But good fun. We're off down there. Us both will be there. All of us in 2 weeks' time. If you get yourself along, if you're a wakey. Cass, Huddersfield or Fev season ticket, I don't think you get discounted tickets. It should be a good night, shouldn't it?
Look forward to it. Yeah, look forward to it. And you're driving, by the way, Mr. Wilson, so any of the fans down there want to buy the legend a quiet pint, I look forward to it.
I seem to remember last year you had tips in every race. I went home with an empty wallet.
Yeah. I went home with an empty wallet after the first race.
So ask him whatever you want about rugby league, but don't get tips off him on the night.
Big breaking news is that Joe's dad says we can go around and broadcast from his house anytime. Next bank holiday, we might be
We're there. Yeah, do tell him, though, it's 12 o'clock from dinner time, or 12 o'clock at night. Yeah. We're not just doing it for 2 hours.
Ash says he thinks the fixtures were wrong at the Bash. They should have swapped the Halifax and Toulouse. Hull KR would have carried the attendance on their own on Sunday. Fair point.
I think you should have split up the Hull KR Bradford fixture.
Yeah.
That was the two biggest travelling fans were coming to see one game. Surely it should have been Hull KR against Toulouse, so you got
your. That's what Ash is saying, yeah.
Your most fans against the least, and then Featherstone Bradford.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Halifax Bradford would have been.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And I think if you had gone Hull KR Toulouse, you'd probably get then the neutrals go for the underdog if
well,
you
and,
like.
And it would have been a very entertaining game because they both play lovely rugby.
Yeah. Les said he had a great weekend, met some good people, had a few beers, good banter. Hopes we're at Magic next year. He's a Hull KR, I presume he's a Hull KR fan. And Pete says, got to do it this year because next year the elitists will take over. He says, no more wakey top four or a classy cast. So he said, with the second marquee, etc., it'll spoil the game. Wake, we've got a ghost. The poster's just fallen down. I hope that's not an omen.
That's Richard Shawright. He's here somewhere.
Is he here somewhere?
He's here in his RSW somewhere.
He's here. Well, fingers crossed. He's not an angry ghost. Hopefully not. Keep your tweets coming in at RL.
So the ghost of John Noakes. Rest in peace. Be, yeah, a Halifax fan.
Well, there you go. At RL on RY on Twitter. You can get in touch on the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. Stephen says, tell Gary he's the best bloke who speaks his mind on the game and a great motivator for player and coaches in RL. Stephen, don't encourage him.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Thank you very much.
Don't encourage him. I don't know. We'll see. And Joe said, all day session, no problem. He started at 12 today himself.
He started at Easter. Still going.
You're lucky, man. Lucky, man.
Craig and Bilko, and this is what I like about rugby league. Bilko's come back and basically said, what about Wigan? Excellent in the first 20 minutes. Is it you slurping now?
It's Phil Kaplan,
it's
not
like
me.
Slurping. What are you doing, lads?
It's not me.
We're Northern
what are
lads.
You doing?
We've got us brew. We're Northern lads.
Come on. Bilko said, excellent first 20 minutes, but woefully beaten on interchange. No injury excuses today. Terrible collapse. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it is, yeah, but at the end of the game's for 80 minutes, isn't it? Simple as that.
That's what he's saying. Yeah.
Give credit where it's due. Wayfield was sensational. Simple as that.
Because then Craig has come back, another Craig, and said, all went horribly wrong when he made the subs. Sutton, Mickey McAlorum, and more importantly, O'Loughlin.
O'Loughlin's like when the interchange with Gareth Ellis goes off at Hull. The impact just goes.
Yeah. I want to know, are Warrington going to miss out on the top eight? And who is going to make the top four? Let us have your thoughts.
So, Mark, then, just let's go with Warrington here, then. The way they played today, why was this put out from the club, then, that Tony Smith had resigned and all of a sudden he's not? There's got to be something
well,
in this.
They're saying that it was a... it might be a former employee who might have sent out the message.
Should Catalan hold on to the lead they have at half time, Warrington will be back in the bottom four.
Yeah, and playing Huddersfield next week. If Huddersfield were to win, Huddersfield will go above them because they've got a better points difference than Warrington. We all thought, right, when Kevin Brown went to Warrington, he was the missing piece of the jigsaw.
I think
Warrington has got a jigsaw.
I never said that.
And there's one wrong bit in it.
I never said that. And I'll tell you what as well, taking off away from Leeds. Leeds played very well on Friday night. They played very well. But that Warrington side, at this moment in time, they're a shambles. They have no leadership. They have no creativity. And Chris Hill, we all know what Chris Hill brings to that side. That was the worst game I've ever seen him play Rugby League.
He wasn't great against... I don't know if he's carrying an injury.
No, he's not carrying an injury. That was the worst game I've ever seen
but
him play
Rugby
League.
But even getting into a position where he's kicking on the last tackle, something systemically broken down.
This is what I'm saying here. About leadership, there is no purpose in that side from anybody. And do you know what was making me laugh as well? What was totally making me laugh was every mistake what they was doing, Warrington, they're putting their hands up and apologising and saying, we've got 1 minute to defend, 1 minute to defend. Well, what I would like to see, if it's not coming from the captain, somebody in that Warrington side grabbing them by the curlers and really giving it to them and saying, hey, listen, I'm not really apologising that we've got a minute. Catch that ball, get stuck in, let's get organised, let's get creative, because we're a better side than this. But this Warrington side, at this moment in time, have no leader. They have no purpose. They're in absolute shambles.
I think based on what I've seen today, and I was with Phil Vivas today, I said it to him, Kevin Brown last 15 minutes looked like a man possessed. I said, as a fan, if I'm watching that, I'm saying, hang on, where have you been for 65 minutes? Because first half, he didn't want to know.
And yet, when he played for England, had a fantastic game in a different environment with different players. He's got the talent.
He played well against Widnes, didn't he, said, I'm going to be the main man
today. Right then. Let's go back then, and all Warrington fans won't want to hear this. Let's go back to the start of the season. They went to Catalans and got turned over there because I said the forwards in that performance against, the forwards were soft. Then, the week after, we all saw what happened. They literally tore Brisbane Broncos apart. Brisbane on that night, they played well. And Wayne Bennett even gave credit to how well, not just his players played, with the preparation, we all know we're coming over, how well his players played. They were beaten by a far better side with Warrington. Yes, that is what now, 13 weeks down the line. You cannot tell me, because it's the same side, the same players, from where they have gone in this season and to where they are now. The question is, from a performance like that, from 1-17, from dominating defence, organisation, leadership and purpose, how has it all gone wrong? It's quite simply in that dressing room. There's something massively wrong at that club. There's something massively wrong.
There's not too many missing in that.
The only thing I can think of is there are a number of players who are coming to the end of their contracts. Now, whether that's playing on some minds or not, they're being linked with players as well, which obviously, if you're currently there, might tell you that you're not going to be there for much longer. It almost seems a little bit unstable, perhaps. I'm not sure.
Possibly.
They're shambles.
Being linked with Kyle Eastman, aren't they now, because they missed out on Ben Barber. Again, if you played...
What's he going to bring? Kyle Eastman, what is he going to bring? He's been out of Rugby League for what now, 5-6 years? What's he going to bring back to the game of Rugby League? Absolutely nothing. And you know what, the Warrington fans, they're not daft. You know, they won't go and watch us because of an individual. is going to bring nothing to Warrington. They're a shambles. And I just picked up on the point there, Matt, by saying somebody, an ex-employee at Warrington, maybe put this statement out. Doesn't that tell you there's something in that club that isn't right? Is not right. And everybody keeps saying to me, and I said it to Craig Murdoch today, fellas, right? People keep saying Warrington with the side they've got, they'll make the eight, may make the four. Said Tellings with the side they've got, they may make the eight, may make the four. And the other, what people are saying is, well, Castleford, they won't maintain it. Salford won't maintain it because they can't. They haven't got the quality. And if they get a couple of injuries, then they're gone. Hey, I'll tell you what, if they don't get the injuries, exactly the same as Wakefield, if they don't get the injuries, well, I'll tell you what, Warrington, goodbye. Your season's finished.
Yeah, Joseph said just mirrors Leeds last year. Mark said,
I'm not sure actually. I heard that said on Friday night that Warrington, there are similarities. I don't know. I don't think Warrington have had the injury run that Leeds had in key positions.
Yeah, I said that. You look at that team, that is what they've got. Give or take one or two.
That's a team that made the grand final last year.
It is.
It's not.
And the cup final.
Not hugely
got
different.
Ben Curry to come back in.
That's it. That's all. That's all they've got. Ben Curry to come back. Apart from that, they're at full strength.
And with the injury that he's had, brilliant player that he is, don't expect too much of him too soon, because we've seen other players who've had similar sorts of injuries. It does take 2 or 3 months to get back to you know, game ready.
They're a shambles. Warrington are an absolute shambles.
Okay, plenty of messages coming in. Joanne said the Championship has long suffered through lack of exposure. It's hard to get people to want to come and watch when it's not talked about on mainstream media, which is fair enough. The Summer Bash is indicative of the lack of crowd support in some of these Championship clubs. Not sure what those clubs can do to increase their numbers.
Also as well, Mark, I just want to say well done to Barrow. Paul Cleary, the board of directors, Mike Sutherland, who the chairman there. Well done on your first trophy you've won for many, many years. So well done to the boys up in Barrow.
Yeah, good stuff. It is underdone, isn't it, the Championship? We're always, you know...
It should be on telly once a week.
We do the Last Tackle programme, we do this programme every week. We have our followers, our podcast followers, etc. We offered to do a Championship highlights package, so give us the stuff, we will do it, we'll put it out every week, we'll do a bit of, like we do, talk about the games, get the interviews on, etc. I asked that at the start of the season. I've still not had an answer back from the RFL. I asked again last week, I've still not had an answer back. Now, if someone comes along and can do it better than we can, or is willing to pay to do it, they can do it. But we're offering to do it for free, and they still won't let us do it.
Well, who's the they?
Well, I've asked the RFL.
Well, perhaps you should ask Sky. Because the issue is, should the RFL have bundled up with all the rights, the Championship, with the deal that they've given to Sky? Because Sky, I understand it a little bit from Sky's point of view. You have to have an audience to broadcast at the level that they do. And if you've bought the Championship because you want to feature the qualifiers, then somewhere within that deal should have been that any Championship fixture that isn't part of the qualifiers, including the Shield, goes to another broadcaster. But might the issue be that it's at Sky's end rather than the RFL's end?
Well, might the issue be that when we went to try and hawk out the England International, we didn't ask three of the major channels. We've only got five. In fact, two of them are BBC.
What I can't understand with the Championship is that there was an award-winning programme called Rugby League Raw that was made at that level, that was an insight, a bit like Tony Hannan's current book on Batley.
Very good, I've read it. It's brilliant, by the way. Get it, Underdogs, fantastic.
Yep, can't recommend
great
it
program.
Enough. It's a brilliant programme, a book that highlights what goes on at that level, and it's a sport that we can all be immensely proud of. There obviously are issues in the Championship because there's effectively two divisions. We've seen that. The one thing that Blackpool Bash did show was that there are two distinct standards in that, which is partly down to the amount of money that's allocated. So I can understand from a week-to-week major multinational broadcaster point of view, there isn't the market there to invest the money to show it, but surely as part of being a rights holder, it's better that somebody is putting that out so that when you take it back as a qualifier, people are more au fait with the teams that are playing and the players that are playing. And the fact that Rugby League Raw was not only award-winning but got a great audience on a Sunday night, it might have been a regional one, but that might be what the competition is. Maybe we should have realistic expectation that there is something there that somebody should be allowed to broadcast visually on a week-to-week basis. You can't load it at the bash like Sky do and then ignore it until the qualifiers come around.
Exactly. There you go. So that's our thoughts. John said, what about Salford, guys? Just keep rolling on. Brilliant today. Brilliant. You know, if you weren't with us earlier on, John, I've been there today at Warrington. They were superb.
Salford, like Wakefield, and we're saying with Cass, keep going on about them, but we have to do. We have to do. They're the real deal. Simple as that.
What's amazing about Salford is that, and I think is indicative of the way they're travelling at the moment, is that they've signed Todd Carney and he's been patient.
He's waited.
Yeah, but he didn't have to be, because he could have played the big fish, couldn't he? Which let's face it, Salford have signed a lot of players like that over the last two or three years.
I know, from the reputation Todd Carney's got, he can't play the big fish.
But I think because Ian Watson and his staff are doing something there that players are buying into, he's been prepared to bide his time. Today's been given the opportunity,
but he's also not been fit, Watson said. He's got a slight problem. And they are worried. Ooh, I'll tell you what, I think Liam Watts has just been absolutely cracked in the head. A bit of a swinging arm. What's this one when he goes down? You don't see it from that angle, but Watts is struggling there. He's taking a bang on the head, all 11-6 down. Ian Watson said Carney's had a lot of niggles right at the end of the week. They thought he was going to play, hasn't played. But I'll tell you what it does now, he's coming today. Louis was brilliant, he was brilliant. Dobson sat in the stand going, hang on, I want to play next week.
which is exactly what you want.
This is what I said about with the Wakefield players and the Cass players, you know, and I say, they're knocking on the door, Chris Chester, giving me an opportunity, saying we doubt, and they're doing that, and they're putting pressure on the players who have been left out. It's great, and that's what the coach wants.
But isn't it all about man management as well?
Of course it is, absolutely.
Even if you have got niggles at the end of the week, even if you are going to the coach saying, I want to play, and the coach is saying, actually, you've got to bide your time. I will pick a weekend, you will be playing, and then you'll have a chance to prove it to me. The one thing Todd Carney's done today, whether he's fully fit, partly fit, or just relish the opportunity, is he's gone on the basis of the fact that this is my opportunity, this is my chance, I'm going to take it.
Very good indeed. Plenty of people getting involved, as always, on Facebook this evening. Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. Keep your comments coming in. A lot of people giving their opinion on what should happen at the bash. And people coming in with their thoughts about how the fixtures maybe should be done.
We've sort of had this debate about magic. What do we want from it? What is the intention of the bash? Is it to bring everybody together on one weekend and have a party? And if it is, let's forget the attendances. It's achieving its aim. People are going, they're having fun. All of the teams are being seen on a television channel. All of the players are getting to play on a big stage. The problem with the bash is you do not know who's going to be in it until the end of the season. And next year, Toronto might be in it.
Yeah, being asked
now,
about that.
Let's be fair, they ain't going to bring too many fans.
No.
We might see Hull KR return to Super League. Now, they, I think, took 4,500, was it, to the bash? So, even if you were to drop, say, and this is purely hypothetical, a Widnes or a Lee in there, I don't know if they'd take 4,500. So, it's dependent on which teams are in that division. So, how can you have a long-term plan for something when you don't know who's going to be playing in it? Just celebrate the fact that if it works for enough people to have a good time and it showcases the sport at that level, just keep it going.
John is having a go at your story about the Masters. He said it's about keeping it going and living the dream. We were having a bit of fun, weren't we?
I'm not having a pop at the Masters.
No, we said we should have a go.
It was great fun. It was playing in the right spirit. Now I'm not having a go at the Masters at all.
Yeah,
not at all.
John wants to know why we don't do a phone-in. I don't know. Well, I don't know why. I guess I do know why. It actually involves doing some work.
I think, John,
we just open up the house. You talk about what you want to talk about.
Historically, it would be a criticism of referees.
Yeah, we do. Well, if there's one thing we don't do on here, we will not do that. We're not bothered. Could I just say,
and again, it's on referees, went to an under-14s game on Sunday morning. A young ref who can't have been much older than the guys who were playing was magnificent.
Yeah, that's how we remember it a couple of years ago we had that young lad on.
And he had control. He knew the laws, he had respect from both of the teams. The parents on the sidelines didn't bother criticising any decisions because it wasn't going to make
Cummings
any difference.
But Stuart Cummings was on the phone telling him he got everything wrong.
And his parents were there because obviously he wasn't old enough to drive. And it was a pleasure to watch him referee a junior game. Yeah. If he comes through the ranks, fantastic.
Yeah, so we're talking about Sky there. They watch all the championship, but we have to see what Cummings on Sky. It can't be right, can it?
Whatever he's paid, filled the championship instead.
Yeah, it can't be right,
Tony
surely.
Has just found it. Tony, apologies that you've missed the start of the show. The podcast will be up later, so you can listen to it all. We were on a bit later tonight because we're all at games out and about around the northwest today.
Hey, listen,
Jimmy says Ralph Rimmer does not think there is a problem with the number of games played. Jimmy,
because he's never played,
that's
has he?
Because he ain't playing.
Because he's never played, has he? Do you know what, fellas? Here, I'm just looking at the league table here now. And look at this performance here. If Warrington, right, finishing that bottom four, am I right that they all start off 0 points? Is that right here?
Mm-hmm.
Could Warrington be in the middling pound game? The way
know.
They are playing,
I don't know.
Could
the
Warrington
way
playing,
be?
Could be. Can, yeah, so can Warrington be in the million-pound game?
Yes.
The way they are going?
Yeah, they could be. Salford were in it.
I'll tell you what, I think Hull are going to knock James Child out in a minute. He's just given a scandalous... Watch this. Offload, it's the player on the boot. And he's given a knock-on for that. Oh, dear.
I think he did put his fingers on it, but whether it went forward, I don't know. Anyway, it's 11-6 to Catalan for...
It is.
For those that are following it through us.
If Adrian's story is correct, this wins social media. He said, the best moment of the Blackpool bash... was when I gave Paul Sykes a lift home and my wipers packed in on the M55 and we were making the wipers work with shoelaces out of each window. That's terrible. You know, if the police are listening. by the way, actually, you've had another great... You tipped up Batley by 40 yesterday.
Mm.
This is becoming a bit of a theme now, Legend, that your predictions are getting a bit... rubbish.
Well, I can't come back, can I? I can't come back. Hull by 34, get beat 45-0. Batley by 40, they get beat. So I can't make a defence. Remember that show, the lawyer Petricelli, is he about? Can he get me out of it in 15 minutes? Like he used to do on that show.
Are you working on the board on the basis that form is temporary, class is permanent? Is that what you're going on? You're just out of form.
Talking of Dewsbury, one of the biggest games next week, Dewsbury Bradford.
Oh, aye.
Mm, should be a good crowd too. Should be good attendance.
Because although Bradford were bordering on heroic against Hull KR, that was an edge of the seat game. Whoever you supported, what great entertainment that served up. Their good work in finishing that game on Saturday night, saying if we play like this for the rest of the season, there's still a lot to play for. They couldn't have counted for the fact that Dewsbury would beat Batley. Is it last chance saloon for Bradford?
No, because they've got all the way until the 30 game mark, haven't they?
Mm.
You know, that's the thing for them.
Well, like, if Bradford, that's what Bradford put out on Saturday
but they
night.
But they'd be 8 points behind the two teams they're chasing.
But I just feel
that's
as though
still a lot.
If they could keep that side what played the other night, then they'll be all right, Bradford. That was a quality performance. They played very well.
Yeah, but they didn't win, and it's almost... No.
It's not so much that they didn't win. It wouldn't have mattered if Dewsbury hadn't won.
Mm.
Is that almost it's the double... Yeah. So however well you played, you're in a worse position.
Yeah.
Mm. Is the Jeff Toovey thing becoming a bit of an embarrassment for the sport?
That's a joke. I tell you what, Phil Clark made a call. I was playing cricket Saturday. I went in the bar after, and Phil Clark comes on, who, with the best will in the world, I'm not his biggest fan. But he says, so OKR then, Tim Sheens used to coach Australia and Bradford Bulls. Lee Beattie used to be the England kit man. And you think, yeah, that's about it really, isn't it? But apparently there was a little bit of uproar because Sky kept referring to Toovey as the coach, which legally is not. We did a Twitter poll last week, which is going to last longer, the DFS sale or Jeff Toovey's holiday. One fan took great exception to that and said we were being childish. But I have to tell you, the DFS sale just narrowly lost out. Jeff Toovey's already 54% to 46%, and hundreds of people voted in our poll as well. So
I just think it's bringing the game into disrepute when he's seen quite clearly as the coach on television, and he is referred to as the coach.
And every time he spoke, Lee Beattie then said something on the get him on or whatever. It was honestly, it's embarrassing. And I say that as a Bradford...
No, but it's not embarrassing for Bradford, I don't think. It is what it is for Bradford. It's embarrassing for the sport.
Oh, what a catch from... Hey, this could be the... Yeah, Scully, talk about an interception, son. Have a look at this from Jake Connor. Live on the telly. Hull have just scored. It's 11-10. Have a look at this interception from Connor. You'd have been proud of this one, Legend. Yeah, he's... leapt in the air. It was a ridiculous one. It's Rorschach, the young lad that scored the try.
Has he made his debut?
Have a look at this. You'd have been happy with that legend, wouldn't you?
I tell you what, it's a shocker of a pass, though, isn't it, for me?
All it.
Absolute
He's put
shocker.
A second-class stamp on.
Absolute. Well, I'll tell you what, Jake Connell, there for it to say, all it had to do was go, oh, good night, God bless you. It's an absolute shocker from Aiton. Yeah, but well done, Jake Connor. I'd say, a new kid, is that his debut, Rawthorn? If that's his debut.
I think he played a few times,
has he? Hey, the young kid at Wigan scored a double on his debut today.
Worthington,
yeah. And I can remember when I scored my first try at professional level. It was against Keighley at Lawcombe Lane.
I've also scored a try there, Scott. You say I've got
Yorkshire Cup game, and Kevin Archie put me over 5 minutes ago. I'd only been on the pitch about 7 minutes. He put me over. So I had to Craig. Come on, Craig, tell us, who did you score your first try against? I can't remember. What do you mean you can't remember? You can't remember your first professional try you scored against? I couldn't remember. Can't remember all the old
too
doc.
Too many bangs on the head.
The old doc. Yeah. Can't remember.
Too many bangs on the head for that lad.
Yes, he had. That's a shocking kick, and it holds. That green. His kicks it.
It's a decent kick now, 12-11.
It's a shocker, that green kick.
Grez says, Scoey makes a tea because he's good at stirring things up.
It's a bit harsh.
Fair enough, Grez. I like that. Keep sharing it with your friends, by the way. We do appreciate all the shares and everything because it gets the word out there. Let's have a look what's going on. Jonathan said, poor choice of fixtures, love the weekend, but got it wrong this year, shipped a damp squib to finish. The RFL relied on Halifax to make the day on the last day. Lee said, agree, no one is leading. Chris Hill complains every week about penalties they give away, and he's the one giving them, he said. That's not about Warrington. Very puzzling about Warrington, said Vic. They do seem to lost and seriously underperforming.
Do you honestly, I mean, again, I don't know because... It's an impossible thing to gauge. Do you think Warrington coming so close but missing two of the three targets last year has had a hangover effect psychologically?
I know you said that at the start of the year, didn't you?
I don't think we can argue with the skill sets of the guys that are playing for them. I don't think we can argue with the team selections most weeks. There isn't too much consternation about players being left out. I know Scoey's a big fan of deck patterns and he hasn't played every week, but you know, the last couple of weeks he's been involved. And is it more than just the ability of the players, but actually that they're in a place that they don't know how to get out of because they came so close to touching glory? There is this every year, and it's becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy that it's always their year. Is this length of time since they last won the championship now becoming a huge millstone for everybody that plays for the club?
I think maybe. They look further away than ever. You just can't. And it's all right, Tony Smith coming out. For me, he doesn't have the answers. He doesn't know what's wrong.
But if
wrong.
It's a psychological thing inside the heads of his players, what is the answer?
You can't keep
getting new players.
Yeah, but also, from a player's point of view, and I would say from my point of player's point of view, you got to go out there and play your best, and they're not doing that, Phil. They're not doing that, are they? They're rubbish.
No, they're rubbish, Mark and Phil.
They're rubbish.
Mm. Salford.
But technically and tactically, they're not rubbish. Why are they rubbish now? I just wonder whether it is getting so close
as I went back to that Brisbane game, which was over 13 weeks ago now, but why, when they can play at that level, because they were absolutely sensational, that's the best British performance I guess we've seen from an English side of work since when Wigan beat Brisbane over in Brisbane, in 94. But you cannot go to the level where they are now, to that level. You can't. There's something wrong in that club.
Is it that brilliant though the Brisbane performance was, and perhaps more important for the game of British Rugby League, is it because there was nothing riding on it? There was no pressure on them. Well, if they'd won or lost that game, it didn't make any difference to their season.
That's a good point.
There was a pride thing. Because they'd earned the right to play in that game by getting to a grand final.
You just said that word, pride. Surely they've got to have pride in the performance week in and week out in Super League.
Is the other thing that if you bring back promotion relegation and you couch it in the eights, whether we think that's a good idea, a bad idea, merited or otherwise, that there comes a point in the season where you're concerned about where you might be rather than where you are, and you're looking at the table thinking we can't afford to lose this week, and
Tony
that
Smith
puts pressure on
you. I asked Tony Smith that. I said, is there an element that teams are coming here now knowing that they can knock you out of the competition? Is that hurting you? He was keen to play that
there's,
down.
There's no intimidation there from what. Do you know what?
To be fair to him, you know what? He made that point. He said in previous years, teams have been frightened of coming here because we've given them a reason to be frightened of coming here. We aren't doing that.
And I can remember going to the old Wilderspoon, the old zoo.
The zoo.
You know, you didn't want to get off the bus, never mind going to the dressing rooms. You know, and you couldn't wait to get out of the dressing room, get on the bus home because you knew you were going to get a good hiding. You got a good hiding, and you were bruised swell when you got on the bus.
And then you had to walk through those little alleyways to get back on the bus.
Exactly. But I'm just looking here. We weren't as far in the games. This is before today's game. And 371 and 266, the minus 105. That's not a Warrington side.
Minus 131 after today.
Yeah, well, after today, 131, you know, it's ridiculous. So there's something wrong. There is something wrong in that dressing room.
Well, they're the third lowest scoring team in the competition.
Third worst defence.
Yeah, so there you go. Max enjoyed the weekend in Blackpool. He said, especially seeing Fev lose, and I'm a Cass fan. He said, but London, very impressive. Mm. Talking about London, we had Andrew Henderson.
Heard it.
I was going to ask you about
really
that.
Good, yeah.
You can download it, actually. So if you have a look on Twitter, go back to yesterday. We've put
make
it up
some
there.
Points that we make here every week. I couldn't agree with him more.
You know, it's frightening, isn't it? It's frightening. Like he said, how am I supposed to plan for next year? I don't know what the rules are. I don't know where I need to finish to earn what money, or do I need to be concentrating on building my team off the field so that if... Great points. And that's someone within the game. I asked him, do you get involved in it? And he went, no one asked me.
We have this conversation a lot of weeks. What does the sport want itself to be in 5 years' time?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't happen in 5 years' time. It happens now.
Well, do you know what as well, right?
And he has got some localised issues, bearing in mind that you go to London on any day of the week and there's a million different things you can do, that he needs help raising the profile of the sport.
Correct.
Now, he can do what he can do on the field, and he's starting to do that. And he needs more kids playing, which means more people aware that the sport exists. And he needs to be playing at the highest level he can to attract sponsors, fans.
Correct.
And he doesn't know where, you know, yes, if he manages to win a £1 million game and go up, he knows where he is. But then he's got to start recruiting behind everybody else.
Absolutely.
So what do we actually want from London?
But again, when we're talking about the game, and we're looking to attract all the big sponsors and all the big names, and then we get the guy who's coming to into the RFL, 8 months ago, Roger Draper, saying the biggest competition in the world of rugby league, as far as I'm concerned, the Challenge Cup, is losing its purpose.
But also, they might take it away from Wembley.
Exactly.
How is that going to help London?
Exactly. Hold on, Mr. Draper. This is the biggest rugby league cup. You ask the Australians, you ask the Kiwis, you ask any of them, what do you want to play?
We had Danny Kerman on the other week on the radio,
what do you
and he
want
said
to play?
As a kid, I dreamed of wanting to play at Wembley. Yeah. He said, I've been and I didn't play.
And the supporters,
and he said it was still one of the best days of his career.
Everybody wants to go to Wembley. But then we're getting him saying this about the Challenge Cup. How are we supposed to attract the huge companies? Because we have got a great product. We all know that. And you look at the other code.
Absolutely.
That other code, they're going down with the British Lions tour to use it. You look at all the massive sponsorship
everything
they've got.
Everything sponsored. And, watches, eyebrow,
but also
pencils, everything.
But look at the companies who they have got. Look at the companies we have got, and I'm, you know, no disrespect to bachelors, but bloody hell, mushy peas, do me a favour.
It's confirming the stereotype, that's
and
for sure.
And we have the main man at the RFL saying the Challenge Cup's losing its identity. Do me a favour.
I think there's two things when you grow up as a kid. One is to play at Wembley.
Correct.
And the other is to be a Great Britain Lion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? They took one away. Are they looking to take the biggest competition away from us? Absolutely ridiculous.
I can't say they can. I think they've
ridiculous.
As far as I know, when the new Wembley came in 2007, the RFL signed a 20-year deal. Now it may be that has a break clause in it after 10 years that they can renegotiate, and we are at that 10th year. But surely you put your own house in order rather than blame the house that you play at. And the fact is that the Challenge Cup needs a bit of work.
But yeah,
we can do.
Exactly.
We need to move the date of it.
You said
Barrow, brilliant. How many Barrow fans would have loved to have played that game that they won at Wembley and enjoyed a night out in London after they'd won?
Absolutely.
And how many North Wales fans would have gone down to Wembley?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
How many neutrals would have been in the stadium early to watch that?
Correct.
That's within our gift.
Do you know
not
what?
Taking it away.
And Phil, as I said to you before, you should be the marketing man for the RFL. But surely, surely what we should be doing about Wembley, what we should be doing about the Challenge Cup, is telling them how good it is, telling them how important it is to our great game, telling them what it means to the players and the supporters, to these companies, and selling it.
There's another thing. It's at the moment, it is a listed event. It can only be shown on terrestrial television.
Correct. And that
now,
shows what it is.
Whilst we can have Super League and whatever on Sky, if you've got an event that is going to draw between 1 and 2 million people every year, surely you can sell that as a single event.
Absolutely.
And Ladbrokes are doing a great job. I've got, you know, the draws that they do and the social media that they do alongside it and the branding that they do. They've raised the profile of the Challenge Cup. Now, as a sport, we need to go out and say this is a highlight of what we offer, not something that's lost its shine.
Absolutely. Good call, Phil Kaplan.
Good stuff. John says Summer Bash should have been Fev Bradford Saturday last game and closed it on Sunday Hull KR Halifax. So another different point of view on that one. More than,
but I think the thing about the bash is that however the fixtures were structured, it was a record crowd. The fact that it was misplaced, that there was two thirds of it on one day and a third on the other, that's an issue of massaging. Did you get your fixtures right? Who's going to be in it next year? But if more and more people are going each year, then surely it's worth carrying on with.
Do you feel it has a purpose?
My problem is the same as the Magic Weekend. I don't think it can be an add-on. I think when the league is going to be so tight at the top, you've got, even if we assume that Hull KR have got half a foot in the qualifiers already, there are four teams vying for three places, and yes, they played each other, but I just think it's got to be part of the season, not an additional game. That point, that those 2 points that Dewsbury gained might be absolutely crucial when it comes to relegation.
I heard a little whisper that the Cup semi-final could be held at one venue on the same day. That would be a step forward, wouldn't
which
it?
You would assume wouldn't be a Friday night.
Yeah, Saturday, you would hope.
Because Friday night worked for the BBC.
Yeah, but it worked for the fans, did it?
No, I don't think you can do that this year. Surely you would do that next year, give people advance notice. Maybe not.
I don't know, we'll see. Rugby League on TV said, Cup has never worked in August. Ruins the run to Old Trafford. Move it back earlier in the season. Would that give the Cup a little bit more?
That's the first thing that would give it, yes. Move it back to May. And then you've got to decide if your Magic Weekend is still viable and you want to do it as part of the regular run of fixtures, you don't have to have it in May.
Okay.
In fact, the year that we had it as the first round, even though it was early February and in Cardiff, which is never an easy place to get to when the weather's going to be poor, that actually gives the season a really good lift. Why not have your Magic Weekend round one? And if necessary, always have it under a stadium that's got a roof.
Well, that's only one. We've only got one of them.
Well, is that worth looking at? Give people enough notice?
I'm with you on the old Magic Weekend. I think it's got to be part of the thing. I also won't be averse to having just one day, but at two different venues. I have one now and then one later in the competition.
I'm firmly of the opinion that to balance out making it somebody's home game, you then have a second series of fixtures that are on the road, which is the other team's home game.
So in effect, all Super League clubs give up a game, or Championship clubs, and we go from there.
Yep. And everybody works to market it to the point where the significant drop in income from hosting it yourself is less, because more and more people want to go and watch it, and you divide that up, and everybody gets something out of it.
Interesting. It's
the only thing that Dacia sponsor as well, so you could even have those as separately sponsored events.
Yeah, it did. How much do they pay for that? We never get to told, do we? Dean says, I remember when the Challenge Cup final was an all-day event. There were even special editions of TV programmes pre-game. Condit got a Blackpool. He thinks it's wrong the RFL are giving money to the owner at Blackpool, given what's happened to his club. Dan says, I love the Magic, the Bash. Just wish Fev had win there. They never win there.
No, but they do perform.
How good will London score? You're not an expansionist, but I tell you what, Endo's team played well, didn't they?
Absolutely brilliant. They were, and I say we were there, me and the Doc, I was saying 6 weeks ago, when Feverson absolutely battered London, and I say since then, London, since that battering, up till yesterday, you know, been playing great rugby league and scoring plenty of points, and as I said, speaking to John Sharp before the game, and I said, well, you know, London have been looking for revenge here, John. He said, yeah, we know that. We've got to make sure that, you know, we start the game well, we make sure we play with the same commitment and desire what London are going to come with, but it wasn't. London was far too good. Forwards, very impressive. Half-backs, impressive. And I say the full-back Walker, creativity was good. They were brilliant.
John thinks about, he's got a dual registration deal with Leeds, but most of Leeds' players are now going to Bradford.
I know. Well, I think the Feversham players will be happy at that because they know they're going to play every week, don't they? So the when you talk about the Leeds, that Alexki, he's no respect for
19.
His body. He's no respect for his body.
Imagine what he's going to be like when he grows up.
He's bonkers. He is.
He's a big lad, isn't he?
He's bonkers.
You wouldn't want to be feeding him, would you, Scoey?
No.
Exciting talent, though.
Oh,
again, to the game.
There's no
doubt. Comes from an area, you know, where he wasn't introduced to rugby league as a native. He's picked it up late in his life.
He's a quality rugby league player.
If there are players out there like that, that's where we need to go fishing.
He's a quality rugby league player. He is.
Lots going on.
Get over to Gdansk.
Yeah, we'll go.
That's where he's from.
The team, won't we, Scoey?
What's that?
See if there's any more lads like
him.
We're balling for the weekend, won't we?
Do they have alcohol?
Big on beer.
Yeah, don't mind the beer.
Could we get a flight from Leeds Manchester tomorrow?
Yes, Leeds Bradford.
We'll be able to find one, yeah.
Yeah, spot on.
Jam and beer.
Let's go. Jam and beer. Mm. Plenty of jam and beer from Belisle, don't worry about that. Plenty of jam and beer in Belisle.
keep your tweets coming in at RL on RY. Mark
says, I think I've just scored the try that's going to win them the game.
Ross Thorne. Mark says, simple. Make magic the last weekend of league fixtures on August bank holiday weekend. Put the cup back in May. Common sense thinking, Mark. Never catch on. Sorry.
You'd have to get rid of the eights to do that.
Yeah. But why not have the first round of the eights go to a thingy?
Mm-hmm. Well, there is at least some logic in that you need time to arrange fixtures.
Hmm.
That somebody was saying this weekend, there is a possibility even this year that a team will have to fly out to Toulouse and to Catalan within the eights, which is going to be logistically difficult. If you throw into that next year the possibility that you could have Toronto in that mix, then the first week that you play the eights, perhaps it's best to say everybody knows we're going to be in a central place, and that gives you an extra week to arrange all your other fixtures.
Okay, very good.
Or scrap the eights.
Yeah. The bad news, by the way, for Wakey fans is a whole win, Wakey go back to fifth, but only temporarily, I'm sure. Stephen said Richard's got to have more faith in Wakefield. I think he's been bitten too many times, hasn't he, Richard? He loves the club, he loves it, but he didn't have any hope.
He dare not believe.
Mark, he's got to have
you
some
imagine what he's going to be like if they get to Wembley, because he went to the first time he went to Wembley, he was in floods of tears when he was on the radio when the Bide With Me came on.
But listen, honestly, the way they're going this year, he's got not just the hope, he's got to believe. I'm here, you've got to believe!
He's got a Belle Isle.
Hey, do you know what, Richard Shaw, right? He was quiz night last night at the hotel when I said, so when we have a quiz in Belle Isle, the quiz begins with care.
Oh dear.
Quiz night in Belle Isle.
18-11 to hold, by the way, with 12 minutes to go. Yeah.
Niall says, why not do a draw on the day for Magic Weekend? No one knows who they're playing or where. They do that, and then they've forgotten a team. And there'll be one team at the end. You can have a bye, lads.
But that's why you need to make it part of the league season and not an add-on. Then you don't have to worry about the fixtures. They'll just take care of themselves.
Chelsea says, why not start the Super League a week early? Then we wouldn't have the two Easters. Oh, Chelsea.
Or why don't we start it later and drop some fixtures?
Exactly. Andy said Kyle Eastman might help lift the Wire faithful spirits when he signs. What, just like Kevin Brown did?
We've got a mid-season international break to factor in now. That came out of Wayne Bennett.
I want to ask you about this, and we're running out of time. Are all the other teams going to play?
Well, because, again,
I haven't heard.
We haven't had an announcement. We've had a press comment from Wayne Bennett, who happened to be in New Zealand with his Brisbane Broncos team, who was asked to do some PR for the World Cup.
Mm.
and said, oh yeah, we're playing New Zealand, and there's been no announcement at all. But I assume that when he said it's a domestic free international weekend, that somebody has had a word with Scotland and Wales and Ireland and France and Serbia and Hungary and Jamaica and America, and and what we've actually put in place is a weekend that starts with New Zealand playing England in New Zealand, which effectively would be let's say a Saturday morning, and we've got a series of derby fixtures wherever possible, going right through the hemispheres, ending up with Jamaica playing Chile something like Sunday night. I assume we've arranged all that because we've now got an international weekend.
I agree. Simon said, we don't market the game at all. I saw nothing walking around Newcastle to promote the weekend. I've seen nothing in the last 5 years in London advertising the Challenge Cup. Unless you watch Rugby League on TV or listen to it on Radio Yorkshire, Simon, you have no idea about upcoming events. Treated as a second class sport by a company we idolise and rely on.
I don't know the ins and outs of the spend, but to be serious about marketing, you have to put a lot of money in. All of our money of note comes from Sky, and the clubs decide on how that is distributed. So is it the fault of the governing body, or is it the clubs who don't release money that would have otherwise come to them to a central pot to raise the profile of the sport?
What about if we did actually ask the ITV and Channel 4 and Channel 5 if they wanted to have it on, because they actually advertise stuff that's going to come up.
But on the basis of the fact that they might offer what we might deem to be derisory, we wouldn't give it to them.
But if you can't ask them, they can't even make you derisory.
But even if they do, the fact that they'll advertise it, it's got double the value.
Exactly. Alan said, it's tragic how the RFL don't consult all clubs on how to grow the game. I think Endo, if you've not heard it, we put it up as a podcast.
By the way, Castellan have scored.
Yes, put it up as a podcast yesterday. Have a listen to what Endo says, and there's nothing in that half an hour, 40 minutes, that is not common sense. John says, we don't even promote the game. The RL Challenge Cup draw is not even on the TV. We put it on the red button, and it's never advertised. Wigan on a slippery slope, says Alan. Could struggle for top four after today. Mark says, Warrington for the middle eights. Lots of people. I know you would not protect Catalan, says Jimmy, but would the RFL panic and step in if in the bottom four?
Again, it depends entirely what you want. I mean, Castleford were relegated 1 year on the basis of the fact that when Catalan were introduced, they were ring-fenced. It depends what you... And then you look at Catalan where they are now, not so much the league position they're in at the moment, but the fact that they are the fastest-growing and most successful business in Super League. They have more people dine there for every home game than any other club. They built from virtually nothing to average attendances of around about 8,500, which is up there with some of the best. If that's the model that you want, you have to introduce some form of protectionism. And I would say that, again, listen to what Mr. Henderson's got to say, who is one of the clearest thinkers in the sport, and he's doing a great job. I honestly do think that we should have ring-fenced London. If we're serious about, we don't do enough marketing of the sport. You've got to play at the top level.
Sorry, in the capital. You've gone quiet. Have you gone home? What are you doing? You sat there reading the paper.
No, you're talking
the radio, man.
18:17 with 8 minutes to go.
You're talking at more political things, and you know it's a little bit out of my depth at times. You know,
we're talking political. Someone just said Wigan aren't going to get in the top four, and you're there just zoned out.
Give
me that paper here. I'm going to hit you with it.
No, I'm just leading the Catalans, the contenders for the Catalans job, and he's in for it as well. Roland Smith, who you know was at the Bradford Bulls. Well, if the Catalans get relegated, I hope he tells them more about that Featherstone slope, don't you?
Well, he knows all about it now.
Yeah, he was getting a little bit deep, weren't you, with the politics there. I Phil Kaplan's the man to explain.
They might
that,
go for somebody a bit more high profile, Catalan, I think. With they reckon
Brett Hodgson, don't they, from Witness, are saying
that. Hodgson apparently has connections in France, in that part of the world, and he's doing a good job bringing the youngsters through at Witness. Andrew McFadden's thrown his hat into the ring.
Tell you what, Paul Cleary at Barrow, he's a good coach, is Paul, don't worry about that.
Yeah, he's not that good that you could be bothered getting out of bed early to go watch him on Saturday, though, is he?
It was a bit harsh.
No, you didn't go, did you? Your mate, you're always banging on about him on this show. You didn't even bother going to see him win the cup.
There was traffic.
What? 6 hours worth?
Yeah.
What were you on, your donkey?
Yeah.
Going through Hebden Bridge on your donkey. I'll be there in 5 hours, lads. Don't worry about me. Huh? You idiot.
No one on walkie talkie with him. Don't worry about
you
that.
You on walkie talkie. Who with Jeff Toover?
That's a bit harsh.
All right.
Oh,
try
here
Catalan.
We go. Catalan.
Gijo's
reverse kick
again.
From.
Come on.
Luke
get Walsh beaten. And Gijo read it magnificently, I must say.
No, it was a planned move. They're not happy, Hull. Not happy. Joe said Tuvey's been coaching from day one, just not officially.
I think we knew that.
Yeah.
It's the fact that I genuinely now believe that it brings the game into disrepute to try and deny that he's doing that. And if he hasn't got a visa, what would happen if the... I mean, I'm sure we don't rate high enough for the border agency to watch what's happening in rugby. It's bank holiday weekend. Senior official of the border agency happens to be tuning into the Blackpool Bash, and he's been told that this bloke, who he's never even had a visa application for, is the coach of a club that he isn't.
Exactly.
It's bringing the sport into disrepute, not Bradford.
Well,
the governing body should be saying, we cannot get involved in your domestic arrangements, but that bloke who doesn't have a permit cannot be seen in the kit, sat next to the coaches every time the camera goes. At least put him in the crowd somewhere.
Yeah, but even before games, he's on the pitch on the warm-up and every sort of thing.
And we all know he's coaching, but...
Yeah, anyway.
That makes us look like amateurs.
Sorry about that, when you're talking about the amateurs. Unset Parkside had a good win at the weekend, won the National Cup, and I've seen better amateur games. When I saw that Dewsbury Batley game as well yesterday, that was appalling, wasn't it? And again, when we talk about coaches and the pressure...
What was the disappointment? Dewsbury played how they needed to play to win, or Batley couldn't beat them?
Batley were hopeless, wasn't they?
They were terrible.
They were hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. But that game wasn't a good advertisement, was it, for the
championship? The only great thing about that game was Aaron Brown's try. Which I thought was excellent. And we are very fortunate at the moment. In virtually every game I'm going to, we're seeing some fabulous tries being scored. At every level.
Tell you what, we've seen a few interceptions as well. I'm delighted what I'm seeing. Some of these 80-yarders. Absolutely delightful.
So Ryan Ince scored a try today for Widnes that was top draw. Absolutely.
Interception?
Top. No, it was a beautiful move out to the right, 3-on-2, and then he finished it superbly. He had men inside him, backed himself, as you like to see a young winger do.
So Dennis, was he happy after?
Yeah. I just think he felt that they got their just desserts. So they've been trying so hard in so many games and got close.
Did he feel as though this performance was coming?
Yes, yeah.
But Leeds don't like playing on that pitch, do they?
No, they haven't won for the last, I think, 3 years there. But what Dennis actually pointed out quite rightly was that he had 7 men that came into the team, you know, and that was to...
Rangi Chase fitting all right?
He's conservative in what I think he's been at, because he doesn't know the players as well yet. He's not trying the behind the back passes or the trick plays. He's just moving the ball on. He's kicking it to where it needs to be. Looks to me like he might be carrying a tiny bit more weight than I've seen him, probably because he hasn't been playing that much. It's not doing him any harm, but it's about fitting in, and he's not going to, even from Rangi's point of view, this opportunity can't be let go. This is the last of the last chance saloons. So if Dennis is saying, I need you to play within yourself because the team needs to do more, then he is doing. But he could be very important for them in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Right. Leeds, what were they? Miss Maguire?
They did miss Maguire, yep. They defended really stoutly. It was on attack that the last tackle plays the kicking game.
Right.
Without him being there, were not as good as they could have been. At 20-18 ahead, they should have closed the game out. They had a good chance on the last tackle. Liam Sutcliffe dropped the ball close to the line and conceded on the back of that.
But
it was a great game.
Good stuff.
Go to Widnes if you're a Widnes fan. Your team are worth watching.
Right, we have got about 3 minutes left.
As indeed of Catalan and Hull.
Yeah, Hull trailing by 5. Who wins this week? Leeds versus Lee.
Well, Lee again.
Need it to be quick, so I've only got three minutes.
Leeds by 24.
I think Leeds will win, but this is going to be tough for both of these teams to back up a third game in 8 days.
Hull Wigan.
Wow.
Looking at this. I'm going to go Wigan by 8.
It's a difficult one for Hull because they've got to travel back from Catalan. It's not going to be easy, especially if they lose. But I think there's a bit of disarray at Wigan at the moment. I'm going to go Hull.
Okay.
Narrowly.
Huddersfield, Warrington.
Warrington are shambles. I'm going the Giants by 14.
Whoa.
Again.
Danny Brough back.
And Huddersfield have had a week off, so I'm going with Huddersfield.
Salford, Wakefield, the big one.
Oh, the big one, the big one. Who would have thought we'd have been talking about this?
This is the toughest one.
The big one, the mouth-watering fixture. And I'll tell you what, can we say a draw? Can we say a draw? I don't think it'd be a draw, it'd be pretty high scoring. Do you know what? I'm going for the Trinity by 7.
I can't pick it. I genuinely cannot pick it.
Come on, Phil, we don't sit on the fence here. Come on, we don't sit on the fence, Phil.
Assuming both teams have come out without injury today, Michael Dobson will be back in the Salford ranks, I reckon. I'm just going to go for the Red Devils, but narrowly. And it wouldn't surprise me if it was the other way around.
Okay, Widnes Catalan.
Well, Widnes could win against Leeds. I'm going for home advantage here, Widnes.
Yeah, I think Widnes have got a few guys back. Catalan not travelling so well at the moment. If they win this game, hold on for the last couple of minutes, that would be massive for Catalan. But I'm going to go with Widnes on what I saw today.
And the final one is Cass St Helens.
Yes. The honeymoon period is going to finish for Justin Holbrook. Castleford are going to keep going, scoring plenty of points. I'm going Castleford by 24.
Okay, we will find out exactly what is going to happen in terms of next week. We've got more live commentary live at Leeds Lee on Friday night.
That's a high shot.
On Friday night and on Sunday.
He didn't miss it. That's Watts again, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder if his old man's watching that, Steve Watts. He complains in letter. Ooh, my Liam, he doesn't do anything wrong. I don't know why the discipline, he doesn't like him. Have a look. He didn't
that
miss,
might be
did
why.
He didn't miss.
Yeah. Tom is up after 9 o'clock with his show as well. That's it. Another week gone on Radio Yorkshire. The boys will be back next week. The podcast will be uploaded very, very shortly indeed. We'll see you all again very soon here. Thanks to Phil. Thanks to Scott. Thanks to you for sticking around to listen.